So this morning, I do want to speak about the love of God, because I think it's so important for us to understand kind of where we come from, to understand where everything began. As Christians and even as church, we can many times speak about and preach about the things that we go like, cool, you need to do this, you need to live like this, you need to this, because we've received what God has done in our lives, and now there's a working out of that thing in our lives. And so many times we speak about it, and in the speaking about it, we kind of just assume or presume that everybody continues to remember where it kind of all started. So even in this year, we started by saying in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and another like this, to love your neighbor like you love your, like you love yourself. And we're saying like these things, being devoted to God and being devoted to his people, these are the things that we feel is key for us as a people, as a family, as a congregation, in what God wants to accomplish in us. But the reality is that even that started somewhere. It started in that place of where God loved us. And this morning, I really feel like I want us to just delve a bit into what that looks like. Because I think it's something that just even like this morning, as we started off by saying like, oh God, what great things you have done. Our human nature always moves away from God. Because there's a flesh, there's a body that's in us. And this body is continuously fighting in a battle. Now, last week, you guys saw me, and when I had my trophy here that I miss, but I found something better. There's freedom in it. But that trophy, you know that I wrestled, okay? So as you start wrestling, maybe Jules, come up here. I promise you, I won't throw him too hard, okay? Okay, so stand here. Okay, now look at me. Okay, so when you start wrestling, okay, you've got this mat, and then you come together. And as you come together, there's an umpire, and he checks if your nails is all short, and if you don't have anything to scratch, and in Ulrich's case, if there's not any knives or anything. I'm just joking. Okay? So, he checks if you're clean, okay? If you're not going to hurt this person, because you're supposed to wrestle, not stab or hit or bite or whatever else, okay, Jurich? Okay. But then in that moment, the ref would say to you, okay, you can get ready. And so, when you get ready, it doesn't mean, okay, you just stand there and you look at one another and you're like, you know, you're not just like taunting one another kind of thing, like, hey, what's your business? Like, you're awesome fraud kind of. It's not like that, eh? No, it's something of you getting position to really come into and grab this guy. And so generally kind of understood, you called it like an umpire's position, okay? And so umpire's position, so I was a freestyle wrestler, so I was good with legs, okay? So I would look like this. So I would stand like this. My hands are here, because I don't want him to take my legs. And when he comes for me, my hands is in the right place to kind of whip his hand up and go for his legs and have him in a grip, okay? Most of the time, you would kind of go, just stand like this.
Like this, yeah.
So you would kind of like go like this, and you would then come into like a scrum-like position, okay? So I'm going to just put the mic down. Well, let's do this. So you would kind of like come in this position, and you would like just try to get one another off, like balance, so that the moment...
Thanks. Thank you.
So you would come into this position, and you would really just wrestle mano a mano, okay? It would be something of you want to feel where this guy's strength is. You want to feel where his weight is. You want to feel where his balance is. And in this, you are like wrestling, and you're just trying not to move too much, but trying to break his I'm getting into my wrestling moves here. But you're trying to break his balance and break where his strength is. So that the moment that you see that gap, where he's off balance, that you take it. Now, what I see in us as our flesh, that's the constant battle. Between the Spirit of God inside of us and our body. And we all felt it. We all felt it, especially during this time of fasting. It was like that battle. Oh, man. Helen puts some like small little crackers and for Papa Ann in for school. And so I was packing out her school lunchbox, and she's busy putting Papa Ann and Juniper May down for the afternoon nap. And there's like this little pretzel that is literally just like this small little thin pretzel. And man, did that thing look like a hamburger to me. It's like I can taste it. I can feel the goodness of that piece of small little pretzel, what it's going to do to me. And in that, I find that wrestling. And it's like, oh, we're going for it. Now see, in that, I think there's a place for us where we need to understand the thing that grounds us, the thing that gives us strength, we sang it this morning, the thing that gives us balance is the love of God. It's the love of God. Because if it wasn't for his love, like from the beginning or from this going out, there wouldn't have been the battle. It would have just been the flesh. If you guys hear what I'm saying. But it's the love of God that caused the Spirit of God to be poured out in our lives. And so sometimes we forget about that place of the love of God. That's the place where from we move, where from we stand, where from we do everything. And that place, that love of God place, is something that's 100%, 150% dependent on Him. Something that he does. But for us, we need to settle ourselves in it. Amen? And what happens with us in our flesh tells us, man, I need to earn this love. I need to earn it. And sometimes we look at people and we look at those around us to come and say to us, like, hey, Dave, you're such a great Christian. And in that, I go, okay, thank you, God. We go to whatever, prayer meeting or community or whatever else. And we use all these things to kind of like satisfy within us this feeling of I need to earn God's love. So that I can just go, okay, I've done enough. I'm a good Christian. I want us to understand that God did not call us into a religion. God called us into a relationship. And that relationship is a relationship of a father and his children. Now, Papa Ann can do whatever she wants to do. She can even say to me, Dad, I don't want you to be my dad. She'll still be my daughter. She'll still be the one that I make sure that if the whole world is against her, I'll fight anything and everyone just to make sure that she's okay. She's my daughter. And in that for us, we need to understand that God is even more than that, looking at us and saying, this is my children. These are the ones that I paid the price for. They are mine. And this morning, I want us to look into that. Because I believe it's important for us to be continuously reminded. Not necessarily from me or from the front, but to make ourselves aware that we are His. Because that is the place where everything starts, from that place. And moves forward. But there's a word that is used a number of times in correlation with the love of God. And in 1 John 3, verse 1, it says this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. See, even the way the world looks at us, and even the way the world relates to us, is actually dependent and because of Him. But the word that I want to focus on, at least for now, this moment, is that word lavished. And lavished is quite an extravagant, luxurious, silky, kind of like, just one of those words that at least for an Afrikaans guy like myself, when I hear lavished, I just think luxury to the max, okay? That the Father's love has been luxury to the max poured out onto us. And the meaning for lavish is this: bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities upon. So that's not like, this is God's love. That's not like this. That is not lavish upon. Okay? Lavished upon is like literally taking this and pouring it all over us. I want to do it, but I'm not going to. Okay. On Sebastian. No, Sebastian, I'll save you on this one. But let's do this. Sebastian, come here. I've got something better than water. Just stand there. Well, come stand here, just in case it messes. Okay, right. You stand here, I'll stand there. Because I need space to preach after it's messed. Okay. Okay. So I can go to Bass and say, Bass, and most generally this is seen as something that we go, oh, I love you. I love you too. Thank you. Like, I really hope you enjoy that, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. No. I really love you. Okay. Just stand still, yeah. Must I check for knives? Hey, no. Yes. I really love you. No, you need to hold it. You need to hold it. Yeah. You need to hold it. So I'm giving it to you. If you put it on the ground, these people are going to take it. Okay. Just for, because you need to be healthy as well. Okay. I love you. I think I love you still a bit more, Bess. Sebastian, this is yours. Okay, just yours. Okay. And just something to make everything go down as well. Okay, just stand like that. Okay, just. That is lavished. That is lavished. That means, like, he's not going to even wonder whether I do not love him. Because I've given him everything he likes. I hope. Maybe except the apples. I almost said potatoes. But that is lavished. See, and as much as we can look at that and go, wow, lavished. I wished it was me. I want to say to us that lavished in God's eyes is way more than this. I just don't have the budget for it. Okay. It's yours, Bess. Yeah. Here you go. Selling sweets. Go. Hey, thanks, Bass. Wait, Bass, there's more. It's his cell phone. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Man, what a promise. What a promise. But as we're sitting here this morning, I think if I have to start asking us, like, do you feel that God sees you? Do you feel that God hears you, that he loves you? So many of us would, in that place, just go like, I don't know. I try. I give myself. See, God doesn't want you to try. Sebastian didn't try to receive any of these things. He just received it. And the moment it was put in his hands, it is his. And this morning, for all of us sitting here, I believe that is what God is saying to us. In this time of fasting, there's been just this feeling inside of me of where I just felt like the eyes of the Lord set on us. Like he's looking at us. He's not just mindful, but he's, as much as we're saying, God, here is our attention, he was going and saying, hey, Rian, hey, church, you have my attention. And that really just, yeah, it really brought something inside of my heart where I'm just like, sure, God, there's nothing that I can do. I can fast for 40 days without food. There's nothing that I can do to really earn that love. It's like you've given it all. And that's why this morning in worship, I'm going like, sure, God, you've done great things. It's not something that I've attained. It's not something that I've worked towards. It's not something that I can say, this is what all my attention and affection and commitment and everything has gone through. It's like, if it was not for your love, there would be no attention or affection from my side to God. It's something that he has done. And I believe we need to be so in that place again of where we say, God, just remind me, We can look, when we look in the Old Testament, we see the Israelites going through one thing after another thing after another thing. Where God comes, He saves them, He provides for them. They go, praise God, praise Him for what He has done for. And then, man, almost not 5 minutes later, bring all the jewelry, bring all the diamonds. We need to make a holy cow or a golden calf or this, because we need something. And that's the same with us. And possibly the same thing that we have in social media. I'm still kind of flabbergasted at how all of us responded to that. And I'm saying all of us because I include myself. Like every time I sit and I go, cool, you know, usually lunch, I come home for lunch and then Ellen and myself, we would sit and we would maybe watch a cooking show or something like that. And so now we're having not lunch. And the first thing you always take out your cell phone, you go, no, 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 wait. But I just realize how automatic those things happen. And I go, like, sure. Why doesn't my prayers to God, my conversation with God come so automatic? Because it's like, okay, I only need to read my Bible or pray in the morning. And once I've done that, I can go, I have done enough for the day to say, God, cool, I'm yours. But even that is just not the truth at all. I don't spend time with God so that I can prove that I'm His. I don't need to prove that I'm His. I'm His because He said so. I'm His because He made it known. I'm His because His Son died on the cross. I'm His because He made a way for me. And in that place, I just realized, like, oh God, like my Bible reading, my praying, my worship is not to earn something, but it's actually to explore something. It's actually there to come to know the fullness of what it is you have for me. Because that's what we read in that scripture. Since therefore we have now been... wrong scripture. My notes went on. In Him we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to His riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth, meaning which He planned in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. Like there's a plan that in the fullness of time that He wants to get us into a full understanding of what it is that He has done, of what it is that He has put inside of us. And I'm going, when I'm spending time with Him, it's to partake in that thing. It's to come and explore that thing of getting to know His plan. Okay. I think I labored that too much. But it's good for us to know. John 3:16, and we all know this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the whole world might be saved through Him. See, that's His heart for us. That's His heart for each and every one of us, that we get saved. And part of that being saved is coming to know Him, coming into the fullness of His plan and of His will. And we need to consistently make sure that as we wrestling with that flesh, that we throw it off and say, no, no, God loved. No, 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 God loved. I don't have to prove this. I don't have to prove, no, no, God loved. And in the saying, no, no, God loved, it actually frees me from everything I think people want me to see of me or think or frees me from the things that I think people need for me to be and look a certain way so that it can I can say, cool, I actually love God. Does that make sense? And this scripture has really changed my life. And it's Romans 5, verse 6 to 10. Before I go into it, like I can remember that when Papa Ann was born, it was something that God did inside of me of understanding just like his father heart. I always thought of it like this, that when you're single, you can know God in a certain way. The moment you get married, you know God in a whole different way. It's like a whole different thing comes open for us. And then that day when we become a parent, when you become a father or a mother, it's like a whole nother side of God opens up. And I remember like in that thing of where Papa Ann, where it's like you are so shocked by the amount of time that you all of a sudden lose when you become a parent, okay? You're like, you think, oh man, this baby is going to fit into our lives, you know? It's like, and then the moment that baby is born, you realize you've lost so much, but you've gained something. This baby just poops, eats, sleeps, steal your time, steal your sleep, steal your money, and you love it. You love it. You'll do anything for this. But that child is not able to say, Daddy, I love you. Like now she can say it, because now she's much older. But then when you're in it, you're like, you don't understand it. It's like these two worlds that come crashing. And the moment like it crashes every couple of minutes, it's like, I love you so much. But at the same time, what is going on? But while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, in that place where the only thing that we did was scream, eat, poop, steal. It's like we had nothing to offer in that place. We didn't have the ability to say to God, God, I love you. God, I care for you. Or even understand what that means. The only thing in that place when we were sinners that we deserved was death. That's the wages of sin is death. And in that place where we had literally nothing to offer, God said, I'm going to come and I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you everything. I remember for myself that before I was born, my dad built the sand pit, because I'm going to play in the sand pit before I was born. He built this steel jungle gym. He built a swing. I mean, he had all these things ready for me that I couldn't enjoy. But there was that thing of, this is my son. This is going to be my child. And I want to make everything ready for him. And in that same way, God looks at us and go, you are my children. In a place where you have nothing to offer, where you have nothing to give, I want to prepare everything for you. So that day when you come into that place of where you accept Jesus and you become my child, that everything for you will be ready. You can just step into that place and realize how much I love you. And this morning I want to ask us, how much do we come back to that place of where we're not trying to read our Bible or pray or do something to earn God's love and to say, hey, look, God, like, look, I'm still here. Hey, God, I still love you. Hey, God, like, when do we just come to that place of where we just go, God, oh, man, you're amazing. In verse 10 it says this: "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life?" Now that we are his, now that we have been bought by him, that the price has been paid, we've been stamped, we've been given a new name, we've been adopted, how much more now isn't his love available for us? It's not a thing of he needs to make us his own. No, we are his own now. And now that we are his, how much more doesn't he have to give us to show us that, man, I really love you? And how much do we depend on that? How much do we actually go, "Oh God, I want to receive it"? But we actually come to that place of where we go, wait. I need to earn this. I need to work at this. And God is actually saying, like, no, you can't work at this. You can't do anything. You just need to receive it. There's three things that I feel fast that we need to hear this morning. Three things that I believe we need to get to that place of where, Bash, could you get me a chair, please? Just look it out if you can. Thanks. These three things that I believe that God wants us to get to that place of where we can just sit and just go, okay. Just that action. Just be in him. Not work at it. Not try and look a certain way. Not post Facebook messages and WhatsApp messages of scriptures and like trying to make everything look and put all the crosses up in our house and the scripture on the back of your car and the quotes and the whatever else and the Christian movies where God is just going like, "Hey, like those things mean nothing to me. You mean something to me." And then we just go, "Okay, God, so maybe I want to ask you, let's close our eyes. In closing your eyes, I want to ask you to just take a nice deep breath and keep it in. It won't be for too long. And now with everything inside of you, just blow that air out. You can look at me again. You feel that moment of where you realize like your body and everything else, there's nothing that it's trying to do. Like there's just that moment of just like, and it kind of just settles everything inside of you. And I believe for us that God wants us in that place where that when we think of him, that we go, okay, oh, yes, God. I don't have to say something. I don't have to pray. I don't have to recite a scripture. There's just that, sure, God, I'm yours. Nothing I could have done to earn this. Nothing that I could have done to attain this. It's just, I'm yours. It's three things. The first thing is this. He cares for us. He really, really cares for us. In Psalm 139, it says this. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How beautiful is that? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. But God, He cares for us. Like before we've even accepted Him, before we were even formed or able to do anything, He said like, hey, Jenny, I've planned out something for you that I know is going to bring so much life to you and it's going to bring so much joy to me. And He didn't just say that over Jenny, over my life, over Jurich, over Martin, over any one of us. He said it over all and said like, hey, I'm, because He's just that big. And He's going like, I am so invested in you. How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. How many times do we sit with God and we just ask Him like, Lord, what is your thoughts? Or do we just come in that place where we come with a Bible and we it's like, okay, God, I want to thank you for this, and I just pray that you will help us with this and help us with that, and just thank you. Okay, cool. Like, it's thank you for just, like, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the only way that we relate to God, and there's not that place of where we just sit and just say, oh God, how are you? And I'm not saying we need to relate with God as if He's just our buddy, because He's not. But He is our Father. He's that place where we can just come and just sit. And I love it. Like my own daughter, she comes to me and just like after school, and I would just sit and ask her, hey, Pips, how was your day? And then as we're driving or sitting or wherever, and she would tell me about her day, then eventually somehow she would come to the place of saying, so Dad, what did you do today? And just that question of what did you do today? Did you work? Pastors only work on Sundays, Pips. Just joking. Just that question fills my heart with joy because she's interested in me. It's like she acknowledges something of that our lives are connected. Matthew 10, verse 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Meaning that if one of the two sparrows, I'm just explaining for those that don't know, if one of the two sparrows fall to the ground, it would be by the hand of God. It's not like God doesn't know about the sparrow. So that's what it's saying. It's like saying, if one of them fall to the ground, it's because of the Father that knows about it, and He knows about it, or it's actually He's doing. Earlier in Matthew, we read like, look at the birds of the air, look at the lilies of the field. He's the one that keeps them. He's the one that keeps them alive. He's the one that feeds them. He's the one that gives them space for them to build their nest. And here He's saying like, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head, my head, are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Like that just brings the picture into something that's just, this is big. Like God doesn't just know me. He knows me intricately. He knows me in a way that I don't even know myself. Even for Dave and maybe Enrico, if you ask them, hey guys, how many hairs do you have in your head? They might be closer to an answer than what I am. But I'm pretty certain they'll be very far off. So we can try as hard as we want to know ourselves and to know what it is. But actually, He's the one, because He's the one that what? He knitted us in our mother's womb. In an unformed state, He already saw us. It's like He really, really knows us. How much more value do we have to Him than the sparrows? He cares for us. Number two, He has plans for us. Even as He chose us in Ephesians 1, verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. It's like He has set out for us to be His. He has set out for us to walk in His will. That is His plan from the beginning, was like, I want you to live in me, through me, with me. He has plans for us. Do we give Him up our attention in those things? Or do we just go like, okay, God, I want to go do this. Please bless it. Or do we go, God, like, what is the things that's on Your heart? Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Man. He made us. He put us together. And in putting us together, He put us together to accomplish something. Not separate from Him, but with Him, in Him. And in us doing that, we come to that place of where we don't have to work at things. Where we don't have to make sure that everything is working. We can just go, thank You, God. What is it that You want me to do? In praying for this person, in doing this fast, or going to the prayer meeting, or sharing the scripture, I'm not trying to show that I'm a Christian. I'm not trying to earn something and go, okay, God, yeah, I've got a word. Do You see me? No, no. These are just things that as we are with Him, it's things that flow out of. Flows out of that place of just being in His love, of just being with Him. It flows from that place. Because we know that we've already received everything that we need. We don't need to work up just so that we can get marshmallows and get bubbles and get Astro's manna. Actually, like, I need to do this and I need to pray because, man, I don't know. This doesn't look Christian enough. You know, I need to. We don't need to work it up. God is saying, you are mine. I care for you. I love you. I've got plans for you. And then lastly, and so importantly, that in all of this, He will never abandon us. He will never just leave us. Psalm 94, this is so beautiful. Verse 14 says this. For the Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. That inheritance that He's speaking about is me. It's you. It's all of us sitting here. Saying it's my inheritance. He will not cast it off. He will not throw it away. He will not abandon it. How beautiful is this? Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will not abandon us. I do think it's important for us to understand this, though. As much as He's given us everything, He's lavished His love upon us. Sometimes we actually say, God, I don't want it. I'm not interested. We might not say it in these words, but in the way that we do things, God doesn't abandon us, but we walk away. We say, God, like, I actually want, like the prodigal son, I want my inheritance. And we walk away from the Father's house. And it's important for us to understand that the Father loves us. And that in that, there's always space for us to come back. Because that's what He did on that day. The son realized and he spent all his inheritance and realized, man, I've actually left my Father's house. And in coming back, he said, like, man, just before he came back, he said, even the slaves in my Father's house get treated better than this. I'm willing to go even be the slave in my Father's house. And what did his father do? As he saw his son on the horizon, he said, hey, go fetch the fattest little lamb or calf or whatever it is. Fernand Bryons. My son is back. He's home. And I always wonder about this. Like his son already threw away his inheritance. And now we don't know, but I'm pretty sure the father said, like, still, whatever I have, it's yours. You're my son. That's what he did. But in that, for us, we need to understand, He will not abandon us. He will not push us to the side. His heart is open for us to come to Him. And this morning, I want us to come to that realization that whatever we do is because of His love. Whatever we do is not because of something that we have done, something that we have worked, something that we have given or laid down or sacrificed or have given up. No, 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 no. It's what He has done. And out of that place where He is loved, where He is given, from that place, everything else flows. So maybe if we can close our eyes. I just want to read the scripture while our eyes are closed. I want to read the scripture over us. In Revelation 21, it says this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, this is John on the island of Patmos speaking about what he's seeing. He says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. And they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. making all things new. This morning, I want to remind us of the fact that we've been made new. Been made new creations by His love. I want to encourage us. Let's set aside everything that pulls us to that place of saying that we need to perform, we need to attain, we need to achieve, we need to work at it. Let's put aside all those things. Just come and sit on His lap and just breathe out and just be. Because His love is the foundation of everything. In His love, we are made new. In His love, even not being able to do anything, He says, "You are enough. You are mine. You are my child. You're my one that I love, the one that I give my son up for. You are enough." So this morning, I want to ask if there's anyone here that can't say that, "Man, God, He's made me new." You've not tasted this salvation. Don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity this morning. And I want to urge you. And so you know what? God's love is there for you. He loves you. And He has given His Son for you so that you can know Him. So that you can know His love. And if that is you this morning and you're saying, "Man, I want to accept Jesus. I want to know what God's love is for me. I want to know that love that He's made available for me." If you can just look at me, that I can see you. Just to look up at me and just that I can see you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone else? Is anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. And then for the rest of us, I believe that within us, there's been that thing of where we've been trying to work at it in our own strength, where we've been trying to earn it, where we've been trying to kind of earn God's love, to make Him see that, "God, I'm yours, like God, like look at me." And in the process, we've been disappointed. We've been hurt. I believe this morning God just wants to come and pour out His love on us. And say like, "Hey, there's nothing you can do. You are mine. I'm yours." If that is you this morning, we say, "God, help me to put down myself and take what You have for me. I want to receive that lavishness. I want to walk in Your lavishness." That's you this morning. I just want to stand up for me. It's not for me, it's for God. Thank God, here I am. I want to get rid of my own efforts. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I really do believe that there's more of us that need to respond to this. Don't disengage. Just bring your heart before God.